Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thank you, Don. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio. I'm looking at producer Griffin. Joe Brand's on the road, but sounds good. Don is in the WGN Radio newsroom downtown Chicago. We have our normal Saturday show planned for you. We'll have some laughs. I'll think big thoughts so you don't have to. I'll make brilliant observations, and you'll go, wow, John, that's amazing. The usual show. But we will start with the most sobering news of all, just to catch everybody up on where we are on this Aurora shooting. It was at the Henry Pratt facility on Archer. Gary Martin, you know some of this now, the 45-year-old disgruntled employee, was called into the executive's offices there in Aurora on Archer and told he was about to be fired. He took out his gun and then opened it up on the executives in the room, went out and continued to fire. Police were summoned. Two of the first four responders were shot. Five police officers in total were shot, none of them fatally. Five employees were killed, and then the shooter himself, Gary Martin, is also dead. I don't know if it was his own gun or one of the officers' guns that led to his demise. In 1995, he was convicted of aggravated assault. He served 2.5 years in a federal prison in Mississippi, somehow was able to get a gun. We now have more than one terrible Aurora shooting. You have the one in Colorado in 2012 that left 12 dead, and now the Aurora, Illinois mass shooting. Five police officers shot. Five victims inside, plus one of six when you include the shooter. There's a prayer vigil at 5 o'clock on Sunday, and there will be one at 1 o'clock on Monday. We do not know much about the victims yet. WGN Radio's Andrea Darlis works for Channel 9, WGN TV 2 on weekends. She is on the road this morning covering this story, and I just want to continue, Andrea, talking briefly about this and see what you know about the victims, because we really don't know much yet. Andrea, where are you right now?
John, right now we are in Aurora, actually heading to Sheridan, about an hour outside of Aurora, to go and speak to a very dear friend of one of the victims. And your summation was perfect. Five employees of that company were shot and killed inside by this lone gunman. Aurora police, I'm just making such an unbelievable effort, John. 4 minutes after those 911 calls started coming in, one after the other, from inside that plant, when that shooter started firing, 4 minutes later, police arrived. And as you described, so apropos, two of the officers were shot as they encountered the suspect. He then retreated into the building, and he was killed in an exchange of gunfire with the Aurora Police Department, who had to methodically then go through this 29,000-square-foot facility looking for victims. If they didn't know at this point, is this the only shooter that we have? So there was a lot going on at this scene. And this morning, we're learning more. We know, as you said, the five officers, they all suffered non-life-threatening injuries. They're all expected to be okay. Three are still hospitalized, as many as four. And what we know about the victims, John, slowly but surely, some information is starting to come in now through the families via social media and Facebook. Kristen Zeman is the Aurora police chief, who's just done an amazing job just keeping her calm and her composure. Yeah. And she's expected to speak to reporters in about 15, 20 minutes, and I know you guys are going to be carrying that. But we're on our way to Sheridan to visit with the family of one of the victims, John. He's 22-year-old, who was his first day at the company. We know who he is, but I'm not going to say his name because I'm going to wait for the medical examiner and the police chief to say all their names during this press conference. But we know he was a 22-year-old man, about to turn 22. It was his first day on the job, believe it or not, at that facility. He was in a meeting with the HR representatives when this man was told that he was not going to be working there anymore, and then opened fire. So just a horrific, horrific story, and friends and family members are already posting pictures of him online saying what a remarkable, wonderful young man he was, and nobody should ever have to go through this on their first day of work.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know how much tragedy this story can produce, but that's the worst of coincidences. And so while you have been able to discover this person's name, none of this has been officially released. I appreciate your respecting the privacy
of
the family's name.
And I think people, I think everyone understands that now, John, in this day and age. You know, it's a rush. It's so often a rush to get things first. But, you know, we've always, especially WGN Radio and TV, you want to get everything accurate, respect the family's privacy, and we will wait for the police chief and the medical examiner to release their names. What we're going on now is family friends who have contacted us saying, we want you to get to know who this young man was. And the tributes, I know people are already seeing on Facebook to some of these other victims on social media as well, with pictures and last remembrances. And these stories are going to be coming out in the hours and days to come too, John.
Andrea Darlitz is on the road. You'll see her reports on Channel 9, and you'll hear her here on WGN Radio. Okay, AD, anything else comes to mind, let us know. I appreciate you joining us just now.
You bet, John. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
Andrea Darlitz, WGN Radio. It's 10:17. There is that. Okay. Different topics after this on WGN. Joe Brand is getting ready to do live TV coverage later today of the IHSA girls basketball tournament. Is that what you are doing today, Joe?
That's actually next week. Today I'm in Washington, Illinois, doing some college hoops on TV.
I have a lot of friends in Washington, Illinois, or at least in the Peoria, Pekin, East Peoria, Washington area, on that side of the river over there. Washington's a nice little town. I really like Washington.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Would they recognize you from your infomercials from Peoria back in the day?
I did commercials for a bicycle shop in Washington, and you're not referring...
I'm discussing the one that has resurfaced from Valentine's Day.
I just want to say this about that. A friend, when I was in Peoria... As a remarkably thin broadcaster in the 1980s, I did a commercial for the Metro Center Shopping Center, and my infant son, Grant, they said, hey, John, you're on radio, and you have a little boy, and we're going to do a commercial for Valentine's Day at the shopping center. You be the guy, you'll do the commercial, and it'll be the story of the dad and the son shopping for mom. So we go through the stores, and Grant's looking at things and touching a card or a vase, and we go, that might be nice for mom, and all of these are great things at the Metro Center. It's pretty embarrassing. So somebody sent it to my wife. I don't know how they got it, but they sent it to Brenda.
Somebody posted on a Facebook group called Retro Peoria.
Okay.
And
okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who sent it to her, but then...
It popped up. So then she said, oh, look at this. And I said, well, I will send this to our son, Grant, who's now 30. So I hit the share button thinking I'll share this with Grant, but I didn't know what I was doing. And what I did was I posted it to Brenda's timeline, which Brenda wasn't crazy about because she's not a big sharer on Facebook.
Oh, that was you?
So now everybody is seeing this commercial as if to say, hey, isn't this awesome? John and Grant were on TV in Peoria. It is not awesome.
It is. It's so cute.
Oh yeah. Well, you posted about that.
Well, then
and dropped a little sarcasm on the.
Absolutely not. No sarcasm whatsoever. But that was a must post. That I'm surprised that she didn't do it. I'm glad you stepped in and messed up and accidentally posted it, because that's a must. You must share that. That's a must.
I found it fantastic, and it looks like the timestamp on it is 1991.
I believe.
Well, that would be towards the end of my run there. Yeah.
The main thing I took from it is it really encourages that everybody's voice will fill out. So I'm very, very encouraged.
I was a little surprised at how much I sounded like this in 1991.
I loved it. I really did.
I was amazed at how clipped and bad my voice and delivery. I remember we shot that commercial because I thought I had it going on. A friend of mine posted, oh, my God, the pleated pants. So, you know, the hair, the glasses, the clothes are all dated. Fine. But I at least thought I had it going on. And watching it, I don't. And I was worried back then when we shot the commercial that my son, who normally behaved well, was not having a very good day. So Grant wasn't giving it his all. Grant was a more pleasant, positive, cooperative child than he was that day.
Oh, but it claps when you show the red dress. He looked like he was so cooperative.
He was a star.
Joe, how many times did you watch this commercial?
I don't
I don't even remember this.
I couldn't give you enough. I watched it over and over yesterday.
You did not.
It's 30 seconds.
It I watched it a few times yesterday, and I was like, okay, I have to go. I have to go to work right now. And I'm just watching it a few more times today.
I guess I should post this on my WGN Facebook page then.
Before you do that, try to get some money from Metro Center. I mean, they're getting all this free press some, 27 years later.
I think I'm going to swing by on my way back and maybe pick up a car or a nice fare.
You're in Washington doing the game. Peoria's right there. You should go to the Metro Center and see if they have some nice vases or dresses for wives.
See if any of them are still around.
Do you have a history department? I want nice and dated clothes. All right, well, I'm really glad that I brought that up. Also, just speaking of Valentine's Day, there was one of these posts, you know, that somehow found itself into my social feed about the best TV couples of all time. Does everybody have one? If I say quick, all-time best TV couple who you love and root for and they love each other and they're just awesome. Who is it? Ready, set, go. Griff, do you have one?
It's boring, but Jim and Pam was
how are they not in the top five?
They're formative for me, yeah.
And on that list, they're in the top, I think, 20. For me, I would say it is Rob and Laura Petrie, to which you said, who are Rob and Laura Petrie?
Well,
but it's Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore from the old Dick Van Dyke show.
I mean, I know that.
Fair enough.
But I didn't know their show names, sorry.
Bob and Emily from the Bob Newhart show, Suzanne Pleshette and Bob Newhart. Because, you know, it was a great show. They're both awesome. And Bob, wow, getting it done. You know, every man wanted Suzanne Pleshette to be their girlfriend or wife, right? She was it. So those would be two for me. And then the couple from Outlander. I wrote their names on that sheet of paper, Griffin. Did you take it?
Yeah, I have it.
Must have been very memorable.
I know, yeah.
No, do you see
Jamie and Claire?
Jamie and Claire. Them are terrific TV couple. Those are my top three. Joe?
You've got to know their names if they're going to be on top three. That's my...
Yeah, no, you don't.
Okay. First one that comes to mind, and probably my favorite, would be Corey and Topanga from Boy Meets World.
They're in the top 10 on this list.
They're number three.
Griff, read the list in reverse order, starting with one.
Okay, Lucy and Ricky from I Love Lucy.
Fair enough. All time.
Randall and Beth from This Is Us.
Yeah.
Okay. Corey and Topanga from Boy Meets World, number three. Rachel and Ross, number four from Friends. Number five is April and Andy from Parks and Recreation. Six is Lorelai and Luke from Gilmore Girls. Seven is Tammy and Coach,
I love that. That's inspired.
From Friday Night Lights.
That's good.
Pacey and Joey from Dawson's Creek is number eight. Seth and Summer from The O.C. is number nine. And Carrie and Big from Sex and the City is number 10.
Yeah.
This is not... I don't know where you got this list, and you have it unattributed.
I know. I usually make sure I save the source.
You always take the bait, because anyone can post anything. And if it makes you mad, it's just because there's like people who are just like, yeah, I'll post this. You need to be like people you respect, and then follow their opinions.
How are the Petries not on there? How are the Newharts not on there?
If their opinion makes you mad, then you already have an established relationship with this critic or writer. But when you're just grasping at everything that's coming out of the internet, it's all bad. You're going to find a bad list.
I feel like a lot of those are the recency effect, too.
Very recent. Right.
I mean, This Is Us at number two. Yeah.
Well, but I think, so they did have the Cramdons in there. They had, you know, from the old Jackie Gleason show, they had them, like, in the 40s, which is stupid because I don't even think that couple travels well. Technically, that was an abusive relationship. They weren't an all-time great TV couple. Stop it. Don't pander to me by saying, oh, we've got a black and white couple here, you know, black and white TV from back in the day. No, they are not. A great TV couple.
It's all these new shows and then like two really old ones.
Every now and then they throw me a bone.
But it does not reflect like a good history of television.
That's not research. That's just stupid.
Yeah. No.
Okay, so all of this angst and anger I have, Griffin, is misplaced.
Now, if it was from a reputable source and they put out a garbage list...
Then I could direct my ire at a reasonable target.
Yes, and I think that's what they're for.
Okay,
but this, I don't even know where this is from.
Okay. Okay, fine. You've made that point. But my larger point was, who's your favorite TV couple? Who's the couple that, if they're on, you go, oh, I love these guys. So those were a couple of them.
Let me reflect on that question and come back to it.
312-981-7200. Text to us. your TV couple. 312-981-7200. Not a terrible February day. That is, it's cold, but it's not as foggy and dreary as it's been some days. We've had bright blue skies, we've had really cold weather, and we've had some really sloshy, snowy, sleety, rainy days, too. I posted on my Facebook page this, titled February 2019. Were the Cubs so good? Is our lake so lovely? Are our buildings so tall to make it worth this February? This morning I walked through the slush, angling my forehead to best ricochet away the cold jet stream, and thought this sad truth, this winter ain't been so bad. Those 20 belows didn't last so long, and that falling plate of ice crashed harmlessly near a yellow caution cone. Could have hit someone, I said to a nose buried in wool passing by. Are we fools to live here, counting down to opening day? It snowed last year in the eighth inning, adding up each new minute of daylight gained. Or are we stronger and wiser and more appreciative of those bursts of green and warm, sunny, short-sleeved days? Does that menacing pool of ice at the curb make summer's roses smell more sweet? You can share that with your friends. It's on my Facebook page, WGN King John. That's February 2019 for you. Speaking of baseball, I know you won't be able to do that, but I'll just talk around it then, Griff. Joe, I don't know. You probably, Don, are aware of this story too, but it's the Cubs announced that they've got this deal with Sinclair Broadcasting starting in 2020, right? Where yes. They will offer you the Cubs games, but it won't be free anymore. Channel 7 won't have them. Channel 9 won't have them. You won't be able to get it on your device necessarily unless you subscribe to the Cubs channel that Sinclair is going to create. And what will happen is, say your Comcast or your Dishnet, however it is that you're getting TV, those TV providers, the cable company or the satellite company, are going to say, okay, here's your Cubs channel, but there's an upcharge on your bill now of $5, $6, $7 because we had to pay that to Sinclair and the Cubs. So the provider of programming to your house has a charge that they aren't going to eat. They're going to pass that along to you. And so now you're going to have to pay more to watch the Cubs. You're going to have to pay to watch the Cubs.
Yeah, it's a very hairy situation. There's still so many things that both sides need to figure out, because that's likely the route that it'll go. An extra charge of $5, $6, $7 to whatever cable company you have. But so many people are cutting the cords nowadays. You get an average fan, or maybe not even a sports fan, they're going to say, you know, I don't need that extra charge.
Or a Sox fan.
Yeah, that too. You're just not a Cub fan. They're going to say, I'm going to do away with cable. And now that's hurting the cable companies. So there could be a case where one of these companies might not want to take on Sinclair and this Cubs channel, because it's more of a loss than a gain for them. And that's kind of what's happening with the LA Dodgers, the same type of situation. But I think the Cubs are using what has gone wrong with your situation to make sure that doesn't happen here. Really interesting is, what are they going to do in the winter, or what are they going to do during the summer when a Cubs game isn't playing? You can have the replay, but you can only do that every once in a while. So there's a lot of content that they're going to have to feed
right
for 24/7, 365.
And Sinclair has done this before. I mean, they are a content provider, so maybe they'll run reruns. Maybe they'll pick up other sports teams. Maybe they'll show Leave It to Beaver reruns. I don't know what they're going to put on that channel. I get that point, Joe, but of greater concern to people, and I think you pointed it out well, is people are kind of tired of their cable bill anyway. More that next generation of Cub fans, they're not even, a lot of them don't watch TV, right? And so now if you tell them, well, to watch it, we're also going to charge you, they're already running the other direction as it is. So I just think it's terribly short-sighted. I had a conversation with a business writer from Los Angeles this week, and he was talking about what it's like if you want to watch the Dodgers in LA. The Dodgers, right, were in the World Series last year, and they were in the World Series the year before. Am I right about
correct
that? Two,
correct.
The
yep
last
two losses.
So think about this. The last two World Series the LA Dodgers were in, the last 2 years, Most of the people in Los Angeles did not get the Dodgers on their TV sets. Think about that. In fact, and I pressed him on this, I said, well, they could if they just want to pay the freight. And he said, no. Most of the cable providers don't even offer it. For instance, we're Comcast at my house. If I were living in Los Angeles, the Cubs would not even be offered on my Comcast system. I said, okay, well, then your option is to go with a different company. You can play part of this interview here, Griff. Listen to just 2 minutes of because he's laying it out for me. This will be only slightly redundant, but it's just 2 minutes. But as he's laying it out for me, I'm kind of incredulous at what he's telling me. Hit it, Griff.
The Dodgers' new owners came in, much like the Ricketts family came in Chicago, and set out to not only put a winning team on the field, but obviously to make as much money as they could from owning a winning team. And the Dodgers' television rights were up for renewal, just as the Cubs just have been. So what the Dodgers' owners did is they cut a deal with Time Warner Cable, and the deal was essentially, you give us lots of money, and your job is to get the Dodgers on TV on this new channel and get every other cable and satellite distributor in town to pay for it. And as you said, everybody said no. So other than the people who were already in Time Warner Cable households, which is now Charter or Spectrum, nobody else can get the Dodger channel. And as a result, the majority of households in Southern California cannot see a team that there's pretty good interest in since they've been to the World Series in back-to-back years.
So the last couple of years that the Dodgers were in the World Series, a lot of people actually didn't have Dodgers baseball on their TV?
Yeah, this is going to be the sixth year where the regular season broadcast, for the most part, other than the national broadcast on ESPN on Sunday or maybe the Fox Saturday afternoon broadcast. But other than those, you get Sportsnet LA or you don't see the Dodgers. And the only way you can get Sportsnet LA is to be with the one provider in town that offers it because everybody else does not.
So it is true, then, that everybody in Los Angeles could see all of the games.
No, that is not true.
Oh, but they
the
have
Dodgers
to change.
Would like you to believe that.
No, but
what is true.
Let me finish that thought. Tell me what's wrong this. Anybody and everybody in Los Angeles can get all of the games, but they have to sign up. They have to use that provider. They have to, instead of going with this one company or Comcast, they got to go with that company, right?
No. If you live in an area where you can get Charter, then yes, you can decide whether you want to see the Dodgers because you can subscribe to Charter or not. But there are areas in Southern California where Charter is not your company that provides your cable service. And I know because I live in one of them.
But wait, you don't even have it as an option? You can't get it?
In the very place where I am standing right now talking to you in my house, my choices for seeing the Dodgers are none. My cable company is not Charter. And nobody else offers it.
Wonder if something like that would happen here.
I think that's a good
sure
thing.
Could.
Go ahead, Joe.
My bad, but we were live. I think that's a good point that he brings up because, you know, you think about the Cubs' prowess throughout the nation. Think about Iowa. Iowa is such a big Cubs area. And if you take that away, they're left without any options. And one of our tweeters or somebody texting the line, well, what about MLB.TV? There's still blackout regulations for where you are and watching the games. If I'm in Chicago and I want to watch the Cubs on MLB.TV, that's not going to happen because it's part of the blackout restrictions.
You're absolutely right.
Everything that that guy said in L.A., that's exactly what could happen in Iowa with this new Sinclair deal.
Or in Chicago if
that too, yeah.
My local provider decides we're not going to pass along that cost. So I said, well, but I have the app. I could probably watch it on my device. He said that in L.A., the app won't work for the Dodgers in L.A. unless you have already purchased the package. And if it's not offered to you, then you can't have it. Now, he said everybody finds workarounds the way some people find workarounds for channels they aren't paying for. But that's not the majority. It essentially is not legal and is not available. And I'm just stunned by that. For the last 6 years, I don't pay attention to the business of baseball, right? But it's stunning to me that for the last 6 years, people in Los Angeles essentially can't watch the Los Angeles Dodgers on TV. Wow. Okay, it's 10:48. This is WGN. We're going to switch gears here for just a second. The chief of police in Aurora has just spoken to the assembled media, and now one of her fellow officers is up talking a little bit about the gun that the shooter used yesterday.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Okay, chief. I'd like to give you a rundown of some of the resources that was used yesterday. We used approximately 8 SWAT teams from the federal all the way
to... Don's recording this in the WGN radio newsroom as well. The quality of that audio isn't very good, is it? I don't want to ask you to listen to something that you can't hear that well or that well understand. But know that we are continuing to monitor that in the WGN radio newsroom. The police chief has spoken, another officer has spoken, another officer is speaking now. And they're detailing as much as they know, as much as they can reveal right now about the shooting in Aurora. Our Andrea Darlis was in Aurora this morning and is now heading out to nearby Sheridan, Illinois, to visit with friends of one of the victims. She didn't mention the name. She wanted the officials to officially announce it. A lot of that information, though, she told us, and you may know, is on social media. And she told the heartbreaking story of one of the victims there who was 21 years old, close to his 22nd birthday, and was on his first day on the job in the HR office when the man who was being dismissed lost his temper, pulled out his firearm, and started shooting people, including that young man. So, you know the saying, a spring in your step. Do they say that about you? They don't, because you've got knee pain. The Joint Relief Institute wants you to regain the spring in your step that you once had, but you don't these days. And I think about the snow and ice out there and how many people have been slipping and falling. And if you've got knee pain, that just makes your walk that much more tentative. Do this. Go to the Joint Relief Institute. The Joint Relief Institute is in Orland Park. They are also in Oak Brook, and you'll find they're a really dedicated, smart group of people who are very empathetic, too. They're very sympathetic. I've been there a couple of times, and I've not only had them work on my knee, but I've seen how they treat their other customers. And here's what they do. They use digital imaging. They see where your knee is compromised, and then they put a joint lubricant into that spot, and it works. It's pain-free. It's very quick. It's an outpatient procedure that I'll bet your insurance is going to pay for. It's the same phone number for either location in Orland Park. Maybe the Oak Brook location is a little easier for you. It's right off of Cermak, just east of the Oak Brook Mall. Here's that phone number, 708-888-0000. That's 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. Eric Zorn wrote a column about this Chicago Cubs story. And he said this is going to cause him to cut the cord, not with cable, but with the Cubs. You know, our news click question this week was, how do you feel about paying for the Cubs in 2020? What will you do? Yeah, take your lumps or walk away. And the option might not even be that clear. I mean, you know, you may have no choice. If you're a Comcast family and Comcast passes the cost along, then, you know, if you're going to watch TV, it comes with the package. Eric also wonders if they would do this, treat it like a premium channel. Say, here's your basic package, but for $5 more a month, you can watch the Cubs. And what are you going to do then?
I think we're in a spot right now where cutting the cord is a great way to save money. You know, you can have two or three streaming services that will rack up to like $25, $30 a month, and that's way less than paying for cable usually. That's going to change soon, though, as these things diversify. Disney and Fox have merged. They're getting ready to remove all of their stuff from Netflix, it seems like.
Oh, really?
That's happening. Time Warner is going to have their own streaming service. All of the major people who own that content are going to take it away from the people who are currently streaming it and stream it themselves. And I think there's just going to be a lot of more streaming services, and it's going to be much more segmented in the next 5 years. And the more you ask people to pay these, it seems like people are willing to do that because they are right now. I just think that's going to change, though, and asking people to, especially for a sports team like this, that's so singular. That's just one part of your life that I can find another way. It's a big ask, I think, and I don't think if they realize.
I think the question that they're calculating, because Sinclair paid the Cubs $1 billion for this, right? So Sinclair's got to get their money back. They'd better know that Comcast is going to give them the dough and that the Comcast customer is going to pay them for it.
Yeah.
And that's the guy. It's not on the Cubs. Cubs got nothing to lose. Sinclair writes them a check. And that's the way it was in Los Angeles. The Dodgers got the money. They got $8 billion. So the baseball teams are okay, but these cable companies are the ones that have to get the money back.
I'm just thinking about it like a broader landscape. Disney, that one's coming soon. Apple is going to have their own channel. I don't know what that's going to look like and how they're going to charge and how you're going to get that content. I mean, we all use Apple products, but does that mean you'll automatically be subscribed to their shows? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing that's going to be a premium too.
We have 30 seconds here, but I was having a conversation recently with someone, Griffin, and I just can't tell you how foreign, how alien this sounds to me. They said, we kept the cable. I said, well, do you miss TV? No, I get all the TV I want. I said, how do you do it? And then they described to me the 39 different things they do to get their content. They're on Hulu, and then they do Netflix, and then they do this, and they do that. And there's no just sitting there clicking through Comcast, A, or the satellite, and it just sounded so cumbersome. And they're saving a lot of money. Instead of $200, they're paying like $29.
I'm sort of speaking about the future and how it might look, but right now, that's what I do. And it's not cumbersome at all. I have two streaming services that I use right now.
And you don't feel like you're being left out of TV land?
No, no. There's one coming soon. I will soon be on three.
But you're not a big sports fan either.
Well, I think I would be more if I did have cable. Like, being left out of that, it's weird that it's rerouted my brain where I'm like, I can miss the game. But if I had the game ready, I would probably watch it.
Yeah.
And I do miss sports on TV.
It's sort of like a rototiller or a pickup truck. You don't need the channel. You just need somebody with the channel.
And once they do figure out streaming sports, because they will figure it out eventually, once they do, that's really what's going to change everything, I think. But, yeah.
10:57 now, almost 58. Time for the WGN Radio News. I was doing two things at once, and as you were wrapping it up, suddenly I didn't have my microphone on.
Hey, that happens.
Well, it's 11:11:11 on my digital clock. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio, though you wouldn't know it. We're here weekdays from 1 to 3 and Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. On Saturdays, we like to broadcast part of the podcast called The Mincing Rascals. It was last year judged to be the best podcast in the city of Chicago. The gang in the studio on Thursday when we dropped this thing tackled a number of topics. They talked about the Jesse Smollett story, which is changing by the day. How weird is that one? The story of Officer Jason Van Dyke and him getting mugged when he went to prison when he was transferred out east. And for that matter, the additional sentencing that he might face. And we also talked a little bit about that Cubs channel deal that we were just talking about before the news. So we'll pick it up here, I think, with Eric Zorn and Scott Stantis starting. You'll also hear Steve Bertrand and Patty Vasquez's voice in this. But so the gang resumes the conversation that we were having a moment ago, just briefly here, about what it would be like if the Cubs started to, in 2020, charge you to watch the team on TV.
I think Scott's absolutely right. It's a short-sighted business decision.
Yeah.
I think you're also going to find that there are enough Sox fans in town, enough people who are disgusted with this, that they're going to ask their cable subscribers to wall off this. And they're going to make it like an HBO, not like ESPN. ESPN right now, everybody at this table probably pays, who has cable, is paying $7 or $8 a month for ESPN. So this is going to hike your cable. For a White Sox fan, he's going to have to pay $5 extra on his Comcast cable bill or his Dish Network, whatever. $5 extra for a Cubs channel that he or she does not want. And I think this is going to accelerate cord cutting, and it's going to make these providers wall this off. Guess you can subscribe to this extra, and it's going to marginalize this audience ultimately down the line.
Steve's making
they may make more money, but it's not, it'll be just less of a,
plus are there going to be must reads on the broadcasts? I'm just wondering.
That's fair. Sinclair famously had their anchors read conservative editorials,
yeah, and that blew sports. Up on they that. Have also been in sports broadcasting and had other ventures.
So you don't think this is such a big deal?
I feel like I'm at the meeting of the blacksmiths convention right before Henry Ford comes on the scene.
We will always ride our horses.
No, for me, I'm talking strictly as a cowgirl
consumer,
riding in on my horse, and I just got the shoes replaced.
You guys, new topic now. Former Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke, found guilty in the shooting death of Laquan McDonald, was transferred to a federal prison in Connecticut last week and was promptly, within hours of his arrival, attacked. I understand that he might have been transferred there out of security reasons out of Illinois, but putting him in a general prison population, even a medium risk minimum risk population proved dangerous. His wife insists that he was targeted as a former cop who killed a young black man.
And we do know that this attack was because of this case. It was not Randall.
I didn't know that.
He's a police officer who was convicted of doing something on duty.
Yes,
it was going to happen.
But he was attacked upon his arrival. This makes no sense to me.
I've watched way too many prison shows, and I'm like, yeah, this is how this goes down.
It happened to Scott Peterson when he went to Indiana. He was attacked over there, too.
Whitey Bulger, who had a much
they
worse.
Got a target on their back.
Yeah,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Dahmer and Bulger were killed. It does seem to me incumbent on any, you know, prison official to realize the danger of this and to realize that, you know, you've got to keep someone like this isolated, at least for while he acclimates. They said within 2 hours he was beaten up or something like that.
It
shouldn't happen. I mean, no matter what you think of Jason Van Dyke, being in prison is his punishment, not getting beaten up.
That's the thing, because she paints a very sympathetic picture, and it's terrible what happened. I hate to say this, but I don't think that changes the fact that he's guilty and that he might have to be sentenced even longer than the 80-some months that he got.
A totally separate question, though, from whether he deserves to be beaten up in prison.
I can just see how this would sort of temper people's enthusiasm for that, because, my God, the guy's already been beaten up in
jail. Do we know why they transferred him to begin with? It seems very murky.
I haven't seen a good answer. It seems to me like it would be a security reason.
They clearly had
security concerns. The IDOC, the Department of Corrections, said they were not going to tell us what prison he was based in. They transferred him out to Connecticut without telling even his family, evidently. So this is obviously related to security concerns. And then when you have these security concerns, then go play with your new friends. It's appalling, and someone's needs to lose his administrative position.
And how many people in prison are victims of this kind of violence? We don't know. I mean, it's not uncommon as well.
I bet it happens a lot.
Right.
But
this is a high-profile story.
I never understood prison jokes. Like, oh, that gets funny. It's not funny. You're locking someone up. You're supposed to, their safety is supposed to be protected while they're serving.
I understand prison jokes. People have no sympathy for them. That's what you get. They don't go to jail.
I don't think they have for state prisons. And he's in state prison. He's not. Was this a federal? But it should, I don't know.
That was part of the conundrum.
That's a strange question. But he should be in a minimum security setting, because I don't think, I mean, he did a terrible thing, but I don't think he is, like, a risk. First of all, I'm certainly not a flight risk, and I don't think he's a risk. I think he is a minimum security
prisoner.
He's going
to be a choir boy in jail because he wants to get out in 3 years.
He's no more dangerous than Rod Blagojevich. He should be in a similar kind of setting.
But he shot a person to death. So then what do you tell someone who's serving 10 years for drug possession or drug sales? I mean, do you argue, well, you know, that
was... I would argue that. I would definitely say
you
that.
You would argue everything.
I would. It is my way.
You're Arizona.
That's right.
Let's move on briefly to
not yet.
The Jussie Smollett story. The actor mugged downtown last month has been, would you say, slow to cooperate with police? They're still tippy-toeing around his odd story and behavior.
I don't think he's been slow to cooperate other than
the phone records.
Turning over his phone.
Well, that's a pretty... I don't know. Maybe that's not a big deal, right? All that does is demonstrate a time and that he was on the phone with
his agent.
Well,
he said he was on the phone with his, right at the time, the manager, I think. You know, he had a good defense of that. He's like, look, I've got personal pictures on here. I've got personal emails. I've got my actor friend's phone numbers.
So they finally turn over the records.
So I don't want to turn it over and lose, you know, who knows who's going to do what with that when they've got it for 4 or 5 hours in the police lab.
Fine.
Erase them like they did the Burger King tape.
I just think if it is as horrible as he says it was, that they put a rope around his neck and they poured a liquid on him, maybe bleach, and they called him those awful words, then I would be so cooperative.
If that's the biggest source of evidence that you have, I mean, I don't know if there's a way to work it out where I'm in the room with the tech or we go through, you know, how do we do that?
And then the records that one of them did turn over was highly redacted. I mean, so much so that the police said this isn't helpful. If you really want us to find these guys, you've got to be all in. And so far, he's not.
Well, and they have found the two guys. The police aren't saying men. They're saying two persons of interest that they believe are captured on that surveillance. Said they're not considered suspects. Now, Smollett, in the Good Morning America interview, said he's very confident that the two persons on that video are the people who attacked him.
When that was released, I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere. I don't have any doubt in my mind that that's them.
On the mayoral front, the Chicago Sun-Times has endorsed Lori Lightfoot. Your Chicago Tribune has endorsed Bill Daley.
And so has that guy that gave him a bunch of money.
Ken Griffin.
Ken Griffin, yeah, the richest man in the country or in the state. In an exclusive WGN Radio Perspective, veteran newsman Walter Jacobson said it's now silly time in state electoral politics.
Things have gotten kind of silly. As we get toward the end of the line, it's the silly season where they stop talking, candidates stop talking about, and reporters stop asking them about the issues that are important, and they start playing each other off against each other.
Who's been most surprising and who's been most disappointing to you guys in the last week, Steve?
Well, I think Bill Daley's upped his game. Bill Daley, when he was in here the day he announced, I think the question I asked him was, why should we believe you're going to stay in the race? Remember, because he toyed with the governor's race and then dropped out pretty quickly. I'm surprised that Daley is getting...
Beaten up for his insurance exam?
No, I think he's steamrolling everyone else. He's picking up endorsement. I think the Tribune endorsement is going to help. I did not think he'd be where he is right now.
I've got to say, I don't know anybody who supports Daley. And, I'm a Northwest Sider. I talk to a lot of people. I've never heard anybody say, I'm voting for Daley. I posted on my Facebook wall, I just posted a link to our editorial and say, what do you think? You know, more than 100 comments, basically one or two are positive. On the Tribune social media feeds, the Chicago Tribune's Facebook page and the Tribune's Twitter account, they were just completely hammered for this endorsement. I don't know. I mean, I hate to say I don't believe the polls, but I'm suspicious about these polls. I just don't know that there's a real appetite for another Mayor Daley. And I think his last name and the history of his family is really going to redound against him.
I don't know that. I had a chance to talk to him. And he thinks 18% is the threshold. The two candidates who are going to go on need to get to 18%.
Well, and the thing right now isn't like the front runner undecided. I mean, isn't that who's polling the best?
The front runner is coming down, but
it was. When was the most recent poll?
Well, nobody's polling over 20%. I mean, I guess it could be split among the others.
In the early poll, the undecided was 24% and was the top vote getter.
Who in this room is undecided right now? I'm undecided. Are you undecided, Patty? Have you made up your mind?
You see me blink a little bit. I'm good. I think I'm good to go.
You knew you got yours. How about you?
I'm not voting.
But if you were, I mean, I think this is a fair question for suburbanites.
Sure. Yeah, I think so.
You would have a dog in this, hon? How about you?
Yes, of course. I have made
Okay, so that's three are decided. Are you decided?
Yeah.
Four. Well, I completely misjudged the room.
Have you ever been decided on anything?
It's been a commercial I see on my way out the door to vote. That's usually how I roll the dice on these things. I'm so disappointed in Bill Daley, but I'm also curious what you guys think about
Why are you disappointed in Bill Daley at this point?
Because of the insurance thing.
Really?
And because it just gave me pause. It's another Daley. There's nothing new under the sun here.
Especially when he says, I didn't have anything to do with my family business, that they have nothing to do with me. I'm living my own life. When he benefited from that clearly throughout his life.
Okay, but do you guys think that Tribune story about the fact that in 1974 he may have got some, but what am I, flip-flopping?
Yeah, you are such a flip-flopper.
Why? What did I do?
Because you just said you're disappointed in Daley because of the test in 1970, and now you're about to say, do you think the Tribune should have done it? Is that unfair?
He's evolving, Steve.
Or did the Tribune do it because they knew they were going to support him? So like, we did this.
I'm going to jump right in here and say that there really is a very strong wall between the editorial page and the reporters.
Okay. How relevant was that Tribune page one story that 40 years ago he may have got somebody to help him on it, or somebody may have helped him on his insurance exam?
I don't think that particular story is all that relevant. I was not happy with his response to it. I thought that he should have acknowledged that there was some shenanigans that took place 46 years ago.
That somebody cheated for him.
Okay, but it was 46 years
ago.
And he
accepted that and still hasn't owned that.
Well, I think he has to own it, and that's why I was disappointed in. And I got pushed back from his campaign. They said, really, you think we should look back as far? And I said, yes, I think we are in a time right now, especially now. You know, we're dealing with the whole stuff in Virginia where you're looking back. In Northam's case, it was, 35 years ago?
Sure.
So you're looking 34 years ago. You're looking back at these old things. So if you're looking back at what Daley did, yeah, I think he needs to own it. Apologize for it and move on, but not owning it is to me a contemporary sin.
You know whose campaign has been remarkably lackluster and just at best and at worst just terrible is Preckwinkle's.
I agree.
I thought Tony was going to be out of the gate, being her usual competent, serious self.
Highest name recognition, or among them.
A lot of progressives that I know were weighing Amara Enya versus Lori Lightfoot.
And Amara Enyes, the case for Amara Enyes seems to just be collapsing. She was sued today by her former campaign spokesman.
Oh,
she
wow.
She had this weird thing where she claimed to have finished an Ironman triathlon.
I don't think that was a weird thing, Eric.
It was a weird thing. It was just like, it was yet one more thing with her tax returns not being...
Well, who amongst us has not forgotten to report a third of our income?
And the fine she had to pay. I mean, she just seems like she's not together enough to be mayor of the city of Chicago.
I think she's sneaky the way a lot of people are if they can get away with it, right?
Okay, so...
on their taxes and income.
So most of the people I know who are on the progressive side have shifted to Lightfoot. I have a strong...
That was the number one name that popped up on my poll on Facebook.
And, is that right?
So that's part of our Mincing Rascals podcast that we like to broadcast, at least a little bit of it, give you an idea about what we're talking about. Then the gang went to Trump land, and you can hear the full podcast wherever you subscribe to them. It's called The Mincing Rascals. You heard there Scott Stantis, Eric Zorn from the Tribune, R. Steve Bertrand, and also Patty Vasquez. By the way, just one quick note about the polling we were talking about the mayor's race. Tony Preckwinkle is, in fact, according to an NBC poll this week, or a poll that NBC commissioned, the number one, she's polling the most right now, but it's at about, I think she's at 15%, and Bill Daley is at 14%, or it's 14 and 13. That's as high as any of them gets. There are four of them that are at 10% or higher, so it's still anybody's race to win. It's also 11:25. WGN Radio on Saturdays at this time. We do a little vibe score segment, we call it, where we kick around some things in music, entertainment, and otherwise, and we rate them on a scale of 1 to 100. That's our vibe score. Producer Griff always starts us off with a song to think about. What do we need to know about that song, Griff?
That's a song called Winter Road by Bill Callahan. It came out in 2013 or some years ago. But he was in town last night as a part of the Pitchfork Midwinter Music Festival at the Art Institute of Chicago.
I know that artist. I know that voice. I don't know that song. Boy, is that good.
It's called Winter Road.
Bill Callahan. Does he have a body of work I should appreciate?
Oh, I think so, yeah. He was a singer in a band called Smog through the 90s and then released a series of solo albums in the 2000s and 2010s. Incredible.
Most of his stuff is like that?
Incredible singer-songwriter.
That's kind of the way he sounds all the time?
A wonderful voice. And he was here last night.
Joe Brand will then say, well, I'm trying to imagine the scene where I want to put that on and listen to it.
I can totally visualize it.
It'll be perfect just after I made that half-court shot and totally missed the three-pointer.
I'm going to put that song on
50K.
Sulk in my sorrows.
So sorry.
Cry into my donuts for a year.
All right, Joe Brand, 1 to 100. Rate that song.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I'll give it a 92. Kind of a Eddie Vedder, Nathaniel Ratliff hybrid, I'd call it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that's interesting for the clip. I hate to drop in on a song like that because you have to listen to the whole thing to really feel the power.
True.
I think that's true of most songs, I suppose, but we always do this to them. We just chop it up.
Sorry, artists.
Yeah.
We have this happy little bed underneath now that's competing for the memory of the older one.
All right, so where are you, Don Clevin?
I'm going to give this one a 93 as well. I quite enjoyed that. Like,
I could
easily see that at the end of Big Fish or one of those meaningful movies, for sure.
You're one of those meaningful movies.
Yeah.
I'm a 95, Griff. I dig that song, man.
I'm 100.
Yeah.
Look at the album that it's from called Dream River.
Dream River, and the name of the artist again is...
Bill Callahan.
Speaking of meaningful movies, guys, I watched Bohemian Rhapsody.
Woohoo!
Has anybody in the room watched Bohemian Rhapsody yet?
Heck yeah, man.
Okay, good. Joe Brand, have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody?
Made a plan to do it this week and didn't get around to it.
Oscars are Sunday night. It's amazingly one of the nominees. Brenda and I watched it last night, and she turned to me and said, that was a really good Lifetime movie. And I said it was. That that is nominated for Best Picture is a disservice to all of the movies that have... To Rocky, for God's sakes. That is a fine little movie. It is not among the 8 best movies made this year or any year.
I would agree with that. It was a fun time. I mean, it's definitely not a gritty portrayal of the life of Freddie Mercury.
Very airbrushed.
Yeah, it's very airbrushed. The timelines and like how they were inspired for their songs was a little campy and like all of that. But it was nice. And if you like Queen's music, like it's good. But it definitely, like thinking about it as a best picture, it just doesn't even seem to fit with those others.
I have a lot of things I might say, except that I haven't seen it yet, so I don't want to join in.
It doesn't keep me from rating movies, Griffin. Go ahead. What do you
I hate it when you do that, so I cannot partake in that practice myself.
An uninformed opinion is still an opinion.
Yeah. Go for it, Griff. Embrace that.
That's like such a curse set of words you just said. Uninformed opinion.
Welcome to Talk Radio. What's your take on it? That's I need true. A hot take right to see the trailer. Go. Okay, so just we're not going to ruin the movie for you, but it's about the movie Queen, and there is a scene halfway through the movie where the bus breaks down, and then they get out to change the tire and debate the, you know, are we going to make it? And I'm watching this scene, I'm going, this is the most cliche band on the road scene, even if it happened. Don't put it in your movie.
Right.
I'll just say that it's an the story of this movie is a bizarre, twisted timeline that eventually ended up in huge success. I mean, it's nearing $1 billion. It might have passed $1 billion worldwide now. That is unheard of today for a movie that's not... It is based on the life of a very popular band, so it's not like a totally original story, but for something that's not, you know, tied to intellectual property like Harry Potter or superheroes, to make that kind of money is pretty astounding. And the fact that the director, who has faced a lot of allegations of sexual abuse that are kind of finally coming out, but they've always been rumored for a long, long time. He was fired 2/3 of the way through the shoot, and then the movie was finished by the director of photography, and they just kind of cobbled it together. So it's just a horribly troubled...
It totally feels like that.
Horribly troubled production, and it's just resulted in one of the biggest hits of the past few years.
I think it's incredible. I would probably attribute it just to the music of Queen, honestly. Like, that's the thing about the movie that it makes you more still Queen. Feel good.
Don, I thought there'd be more Queen, so they could have cut out some of the dialogue where they say, what do you mean? You're not with the band. They could have cut out some of that.
Easily. How about cutting out Mike Myers' entire part of that movie? That would have been A-OK with me. But, yeah, I think they only had probably the licensing to, like, a limited amount of songs they could use. So, and then the footage of that Live Aid concert at the end.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So after the movie, the last, at the end of the movie is the Live Aid concert. The Queen, the way the story goes anyway, they weren't together at the time. They got back together for that concert, and at the last minute were able to come in and then just rocked it. It was one of those first big mega concerts, Live Aid for Famine in Africa, and Queen kills it. And the footage of that is memorable. So they recreate that all the way down to the position of the soda cups on the piano. It's an amazing recreation. Afterwards, I went back and then watched the exact same thing in real life.
Oh, nice.
And it's really good. It is so close. And Rami Malek may be every bit as good as Freddie Mercury was.
Well,
I mean, really.
He did crush the performance, but not the singing.
But the singing is good, too. The singing is convincing in the movie, and they recreate that concert scene. So that's... It doesn't save the movie, but that is a very fun part of the movie, the last 10 minutes.
But to be clear, it is the original recordings. He is not...
He's lip-syncing to it.
Yes. Right. That's important to note,
sure.
I think.
I guess so.
I mean, look, it's a choice, and it works for a lot of people. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 100.
Well, and I'll just say, it's a huge financial success, but now in award season, racking up. And is improbably nominated for Best Picture, and I think Rami Malek has weirdly taken the spot of front runner for Best Actor, and you know, we'll see what happens. But
well, for SAG, I think he won that best individual performance.
His front two teeth should get an award. Not since The Nutty Professor with Jerry Lewis have teeth. played a more pivotal role in a movie.
And it's just, when A Star Is Born came out, it was like, oh, foregone conclusion. All right, we know what's happening for the big five categories this February at the Oscars. And they don't seem to be in the conversation at all. It's very weird what's happened.
If this movie wins Best Picture, Griffin, I will never watch a film again. This will be the end of movie watching.
That seems like a good course of action. That makes sense.
It's a good bet.
There's the cut of the day. Hang on to that.
All right, so 1 to 100. Don Kleppen, rate Bohemian Rhapsody.
I give it a nice 75 because, again, love the music of Queen, but, yeah, the movie was just so campy that it was kind of like, as your wife said, John, like great Lifetime movie.
It's a fine little film you put together here.
Mm-hmm.
35 for me. Joe Brand, rate the movie Bohemian Rhapsody.
Not as a failing 50, just as an indifference 50, because I haven't seen it yet. I'll plead the fifth.
Griffin, go.
I abstain.
All right. Griffin, you got anything else for us to vibe on?
Oh, no, I want to hear what the other guys have.
Boys, you got anything for us, Joe?
I did kind of want to revisit what we were talking about earlier with streaming and everything. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 100, how likely would you say each one of you are inclined to cutting the cord, cably?
Oh, cutting the cord is the question?
Yes. I'm sorry.
We are a 2 at my household.
Bro, I haven't had cable in like 6 or 7 years, probably.
We will pay the price and resent it and the world and the team. But, but you know, what are you going to do? You want to watch the Cubs, you got to pay the price.
Well, Hulu has the live sports now. I think that was the biggest game changer, no pun intended, but like in terms of the streaming options. I mean, Netflix, it's your library, but the thing everyone who cut the cord missed, they said, was live sports. Once they started adding that to packages like Hulu or Sling, like, that was it.
But you won't have that in this case. At least that's not the current plan.
It's also, and I wasn't even trying to steer the conversation just to sports, but obviously that is such a huge aspect. That's the only reason I have cable in just one of my rooms at my place, because the live sport, there's just something about turning on the TV and knowing what channel to go to know you're going to catch that game. I think that still holds true to a lot of people, especially the older generation.
It's also changed the late night shows, or the way people consume them anyway. I think they're now very aware of the fact that people are going to be watching them in bites the next day.
That's the only way I do it.
Saturday Night Live.
Totally.
And Saturday Night Live is oriented around that now. And Conan has just completely upended his show with that in mind.
That's Fallon's whole premise, as he releases the digital like shorts, and that's where his ratings like come from.
Did you see Kim Kardashian on with Jimmy Fallon last night?
No.
No?
I don't know what's happened to her body. But she's a beautiful woman and very curvaceous, but she's the weirdest looking human being we have now.
Let's move on. Here we can rate is Kanye's Valentine's Day gift to Kim. Did you see that?
Oh, no.
It was Kenny G playing his... What
Kenny G is in their house with
his... I think that was a clarinet.
With his horn thing.
What?
But he's standing in an empty room
with a bunch of flowers.
Vases of roses. It's like hundreds of vases with roses. Kenny G standing in the middle there playing the clarinet. I don't know what it cost him. But that was, you got to think that's a significant outlay. To get Kenny G to come to your house.
To reduce Kenny G to some kind of musical house elf.
That's
just to
exist inside. I'm Kenny G. I'm sorry, you don't have $1 billion, and that's what it would cost. $1 billion.
So just rock out on the clarinet for, what, like an hour?
So that is a Valentine's gift. Joe, what do you give it? 1 to 100, it's the best gift ever.
I give it a 90. I mean, that's pretty impressive. It's pretty creative. I totally stole this from the internet, but I want to know... What happened first? Was Kenny G there first, and then they placed the flowers around him? Did they say, be careful when you walk in? How did that all go?
There's an established path here between the rose petals, Kenny. Do not deviate.
There's a,
he's supposed to break the glass of the vases with one of the notes, and he doesn't get paid unless they all shatter.
You know, the danger here is your wife then walks in, she goes, really, Kenny G?
I mean, she's not
Paul McCartney would kill you, but Kenny G, isn't that a little cliche, honey?
Yeah, he's worked with Paul McCartney. Can't you get your... Old pal Paul.
Okay. So 1 to 100. Joe loves the idea. Joe, what do you make? Griffin, what do you make of this Valentine's?
I liked it. I think everybody won here. Kenny G wins big. Honestly, he could do it for free. Like, the press is good enough for Kenny G. I give it a 90. I like it.
I give it a 17. How about you, Don?
I'm giving it a 99 because I love it cracks me up now to imagine after the first 5 minutes of his clarinet playing when everyone in the house is probably like, okay, this is over now. Let's be done with it.
So do we offer him a drink? What do we do with Kenny G now?
Right.
He's here. It's 11:54. Amy Guth will entertain and inform you. Let's visit with her next. Amy Guth is in the studio. Hi, Amy.
Hello. How's it going?
Pretty good. So what's on the plan today?
Well, you know, we have a bunch of really just kind of different stories today. One is about the lawsuit connected to Lockheed Martin. It is a decommissioned site that was very active during World War II for bomb making. It is a nuclear site that has been gonna clean it up. It's been in that mode for decades.
In Illinois?
No, but it's been kind of in this, oh, no, we got it kind of mode for a long time. And finally, it's just kind of like, look, are you cleaning it up or not? So there's a lawsuit involved. So we're going to take a look at that. We're also going to take a look at Bill Daley's background, kind of at the intersection of government and business, because partial tax return is out. So we're going to take a look at that. But a story that is so quirky and fun that I'm really excited is about why all apartments look the same. And there's a really interesting connection to the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. So we had some quirky stuff on the show today.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm intrigued by all of that.
All of that stuff.
Have a really good show.
Thanks very much.